The Wake Up Call on 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM continues, and Coach Derek Angeli joining us this morning. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
Doing fine. Appreciate you coming down on an early side edition of the Wake Up Call here. You probably up pretty early most days anyway, right?
Well, yeah, I get up around 5 every day and get to the gym about 5:30.
What do you do at 5:30? Do you work out, or are you watching the guys work out?
Well, the coaches, we work out from 5:30 to 6, and then we get them in there at 6:30.
Unbelievable. You like it?
Yeah.
I like it. You're looking like you're working out. You're looking like you're in good shape. Can you believe it's been 10 years since you played for the Tallahassee Tigers?
It don't seem like that long, but yeah, I feel like it's been 10 years.
Yeah, 1999 was the year that you led the Tallahassee Tigers as the quarterback, the guy in the secondary, and picked off all the passes to that great run, the undefeated season, the most wins a Tallahassee team has ever had, a 13-1 finish, did lose in the semifinals. Talk about that year and what it was like to have a season like that one.
Well, going into the season, we had mostly everybody back from the 08 season. So we knew we had a chance to be okay. You know, we had a lot of stars on both sides of the ball. A lot of our guys went both ways, kind of Iron Man football. They don't do it like that no more.
They were you had, what, about 30 guys only on the team, didn't you, that dressed
28,
up?
Yeah. 28 total. So we were 40 back then. Guys now are 5A. So. But, yeah, we worked hard during the summer. You know, everybody showed up for all the workouts. You can only miss 2 out of 40. So if you miss more than 2, then Coach Rose would, you know, have something else planned for you. So we had good leadership. Myself, Jerry Blair, Ron Griffin, Brad Peters, Chris Thompson, a lot of those guys I went to school and graduated with. So we all knew each other growing up, and we finally got to be a senior, and it started rolling. And you know, once we got the first one, you know, we beat Hanley in week 6, and they was ranked 9th, and we was ranked 5th, and got a lot of pressure behind that. And once we beat them pretty good, we got some momentum going to the playoffs.
And you've talked about the great leaders on the team. What do you think was the strength of this team? What made this team so good?
Well, Coach Rose really was the leader. We all kind of fed off him. When he got there, he introduced us to an intense workout program. So we bought into that system. You know, a lot of guys weren't used to lifting like that, you know, coming from JV to 10th grade and then 11th and 12th grade. So once we got in the weight room, got strong that summer, we started to develop some attitude. And when we got out of line and started slacking off, he let us know about it. And that fed down through all the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I thought that was the difference in the team. When we would get into the fourth quarter, it seemed like we were stronger than the other guys, that we could put them away.
Yeah, and like I said, once you get that attitude about yourself and get in the weight room and get strong, and then there's no telling what can happen in the fourth quarter. And we bought into whatever Coach was saying. And Coach Jones is still there, Coach Waters and all those guys, they let us know when we weren't doing what we were supposed to do.
It didn't hurt to turn around and hand the ball off to a guy like Justin Williams either.
No, Justin was one of those guys that when we was in little school, you know, he's always fascinating everybody. And then we got to the high school as freshmen. We had a track team. One of the last years we had a track team before they brought it back now. And his brother was Travis Williams, and he was beating Travis Williams, Michael Jones, Carl Stewart. He was beating all the seniors. And as a ninth grader, I was like, okay, well, we might have something. So. We kept Justin around, and Justin was one of the guys. He never said nothing. You know, he wasn't the guy that's going to talk a lot. He wasn't the guy that's going to talk in the paper, none of that. But once the lights came on Friday night, he's going to get 200 yards every night.
And he ended up rushing for around 5,000 yards, I think, before his career was done.
He was
he had back-to-back 2,000-yard rushing career seasons in these junior and senior campaigns. He's in the high school
books. You remember that night night at Booker T that he just ran? That guy, I think he's still running up and down those fields. I mean, Booker T had a pretty wide open offense that year, if you remember. They could move the ball between the 10s, and then they'd get down there, and they had that spread offense, and we'd pretty much shut them down a lot of times. And that game, it just was high score. I mean, we just outscored him and beat him up. But Justin, I just remember him running up. For some reason, that game sticks out for him just having a field day that night. I bet it was over 300 yards easy.
It was around, I think it was about 290 yards or something. One of the most impressive performances I've seen from any player.
Yeah, when we play Booker T. Washington, you know, obviously Towson and Tuskegee close, and you know, a lot of our people know their people. And it was kind of a personal game because the year before they beat us 22-21 on a two-point conversion. And we heard about that, you know, all off season. You know, we were overrated, blase, blase. And we got over there. You know, they had a good crowd. We had a good support. People following us, too. So when we got over there, we just started running. Like he said, they was running spread and throwing it 40, 50 times. And who was running the wing T, and they couldn't stop it. And Justin, he had 296 for three touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it was kind of personal because he was kind of dating a girl that went to school over there. So it was a lot of talk back and forth. But we did a good job. And I actually played one of the guys that was on that team, Chad Lucas. He played with me at Troy, played wideout. So I still rag him today about that.
Yeah, I did lose to Jemison. Yeah, of course, in the semifinals, Coach McCord came back and got a big win over his former school at Tallahassee. That did end the season, a 28-14 game. Talk about that game some and the atmosphere of that game, because that was one of the biggest crowds. I think it was one of the biggest crowds we've ever seen at J. Heidelbrand Stadium.
Yeah, going into the game, we were worried about what Coach Rose and Coach Stewart were worried about, people having enough room to sit. So they had to bring in a lot of portable stands in the south end zone, around the wall, a lot of bleachers and on the side. So I think it was around 20,000 people, if that's right. But it's a lot of people there. Building up to the game, we had some history with Jemison before we played him. We went to a team camp at Troy that year. And in the dorms, our team and their team mixed it up a little bit. So we knew those guys coming in, and it was personal a little bit. And they got the best of us. They ran the triple option. And, they had a big old fullback and a running back that ran hard. We just made mistakes, I don't think they were better than us. I think they just came in. They was a little bit more prepared. We may overlook them a little bit.
And then Deschler won another championship, beat them in the finals, and I don't think it was really that close. Of course, we would have liked to have had that opportunity. Tallahassee's never played for a championship.
Yeah, we got close. And once we seen Deschler beat them pretty good, we wasn't saying they was going to beat us that good. We wanted our own opportunity. So, but it's one of those things. You get as far as you can get, and then fourth round, you can't get over that hump. Too much you can do about it.
That win down at St. Paul's, though, was quite a game. That exciting finish, they had a chance to win it with a last-second field goal that just missed, and we went on to win. Talk about going on the road in a hostile environment like that and getting that W.
Well, St. Paul was ranked number one all year, preseason, and then going into the third round, they were ranked undefeated. And we knew playing down there was going to be tough because they get a lot of athletes. They had about 80 players. And pregame, when they was warming up, they walked down the hill, and they was chanting and hooping and hollering. We didn't say much. We just warmed up. And then when the kickoff started, Justin ran it back almost to that 40, and we kind of got it rolling there. They didn't go away. They kept picking at us. Had a quarterback that went to Louisville, I want to say, and had a big-time wideout. Had a running back that ran hard. So that gave us all we wanted, but we did pull it out, and that was a big win for us.
Talking with Derek Angelou, who played for Tallahassee and went on to Troy right after that. When you finished up your high school days, what were the options out there for you?
Well, obviously I could have went to the local schools, Bama State, Tuskegee, A&M. Southern Miss offered me, Tulane, UAB wanted me, Coach Brown wanted me. I was thinking about going to UAB, but the reason I chose Troy or UAB is because I'm from Tallahassee, and Tallahassee is similar to Troy size-wise. I felt like I was going to get overwhelmed downtown Birmingham. So, and I knew some guys that was already on the Troy staff. I mean, the Troy football team that was from the area. Had a guy from Wetumpka, had a guy from Stanhope. So kind of knew some people when I went down there on a visit. So that's the reason why I went to Troy. And small school, coming from a small school and going to a small school is an easy transition.
And we talked to you before about this, but what was it like to play for the Trojans? And you played quite often. As a matter of fact, you one of the interception leaders in your junior year in the country, and got to play in great environments, going to big stadiums like LSU, and went to Nebraska. Yeah. Talk about that.
When we got there, 2000, my red shirt, I tore my ACL. The third game, we got a medical red shirt. And the next year we came back, we was transitioning to 1A. And we had to go to Nebraska, we had to go to Miami when they had all their board dogs, Ed Reed and Portis and McGahee and all them guys. So it was different, playing against the big guys, and we didn't have the talent they had at the moment. So we went down there and gave it all we had. And then once we laid the foundation, now the guys, you see, they're winning the Sun Belt every year, and they're playing in bowls and all that stuff and upsetting some folks. So the guys I came in with, we kind of laid the foundation, had some bumps in the road. But my junior and senior year, we did upset Marshall and Missouri and Mississippi State. So we did get a chance to upset some of those guys that was beating us early in our career.
The transition from high school to college, can you describe that?
Big transition. The main thing is classwork, schoolwork, because mom and dad are not there. You got a lot of freedom. You got to be disciplined enough to get up and go to class, because when that alarm clock, when it goes off, you can look at it and hit snooze and say, okay, I just missed this class, and I'm going to make it up Wednesday. So the biggest transition is being responsible. You got to be responsible about what you're doing. You got to know what you're there for. It's not going to be spoon-fed to you like high school. Your coach is not going to stay on you. He's going to ask you if you're going to class, and if your grade's not showing that, then if you flunk out, that's your fault because you got a system in place. So the biggest thing is being responsible and not taking anything for granted just because you're a football player. I mean, it also means you got to do schoolwork.
And you mentioned schoolwork, which is interesting because you just listed off NFL players that you got to see right into college coming right out of high school. I just can't imagine what that was like, go up against those kind of guys and how much a transition that must have been.
You know, playing safety, when we played Miami, I kind of looked up to Eric. He was the same. And he was doing all the things that everybody wanted to do, getting all the interceptions and being a leader. So we kind of, you know, fell into that bliss a little bit. But once we grew out of it and started beating folks, then we started doing some things that we saw those guys do to us early in our career.
What are some of the teams, you know, in the college world, I always wonder about, golly, those guys look like they talk a lot of smack. Who are some of the teams, if you remember, that talk a lot of smack and all the woofing? Is that really going out there? And some of the guys that you remember, some of the most teams that really just talked it up more than others?
In college, mostly our guys on our team, our receivers, did most of the talking. In the game, you know, it's kind of professional. Guys really don't do a lot of talking like high school. But, you know, people do get in people's faces, so that's a part of it. But it's not as big as high school. You know, in high school, playing real town is, I mean, they talk every play. And then, you know, but that's them. We knew those guys, so it was kind of personal also. So that's the team that done the most talking since I was playing.
Real time.
Coach, I got a question here for you. The fact that I'm a high school coach and you've done really well, played ball here at Towson, went on the collegiate level and now coaching in the college ranks. Of course, we're sending one of ours to you that we had this past season. Two guys, that's right. The fact that you're a college coach, if you know, we've got some guys on the line and a couple of skilled people that have that talent and a lot of potential to maybe reach that next level too here in the next upcoming year or two, and some really highly talented freshmen that are coming. What, you know, if you could set a young person down at the high school level, and if they were listening today, what could you tell them? What three or four pieces of advice would you tell them if they had any aspiration or dreams of playing college football at that next level? You know, what would you tell a young person that might be listening here in Towson or anywhere?
Well, number one, I would tell them to listen to the parents because the parents know what's best for them, especially at that age. A lot of them think they know what's best for them because they think they're grown right now. But they need to listen to the parents. Also, they need to listen to the teachers. They need to listen to the coaches. Because when you're getting recruited, for example, if Nick Saban was to walk through the door and talk to Coach Dollar about a player, he's not going to ask Coach Dollar what kind of player he is. He's going to ask him what kind of person he is because he knows what kind of player he is because he wouldn't be down here. So I would tell them to make sure that they treat the teachers with respect, treat the parents with respect, and work as hard as they can. Because once you get to the next level, it's not like high school, it's a business. So if you're not getting it done, your coach is going to go recruit another athlete next year just as good as you that can take the job. So don't get comfortable, don't get complacent.
Talk about when you got a chance to be a coach. Once you finished your college days as a player, what was the opportunity there? I know you've gone on and done that now for quite a few years.
When coming out, I did the combine, I did pro days and person trials with NFL teams. And obviously it didn't work. Got real close, but it didn't work out. Coach Turk, our head coach at Huntington, recruited me and coached me at Troy. He recruited me out of high school. So he got the job at Huntington. I was a senior at Troy. He left my junior year. And he asked me if I wanted to coach the secondary. He had a spot for me. So I didn't know I wanted to be a coach. I had no aspirations of being a coach.
What did you think you might do something that you had college? What was your major in college?
Broadcast journalism. I thought I was going to do something like you.
Yeah.
I wanted to be on the radio or TV.
You're welcome anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been broke.
Well, I don't know about all that. But like I said,
I'm not talking about you, not because of your abilities, but I'm just talking about the broadcasting world in general.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. But yeah, like I said, I thought I wanted to be, you know, something in communications. But once the opportunity arose itself, you know, I knew most of the guys on the staff already because I played with Charlie Goodyear. And Coach Turk obviously coached me, so it was an easy transition. You know, once I got there, I fell in love with it, jumped in there.
What did it tell you? You know, you said you with the NFL thing, you were trying to get in there. What you did? You said you had some chances in the combines. What were you told? Was it size? I mean, what do they tell you when you're trying to get in, or did you have a feeling that you might get picked up by somebody? What were you thinking there?
Well, all through high school and all through college, you know, I wasn't the biggest guy. I was very lean, so I had a hard time putting on weight. But I did perform.
And what was your playing weight when you?
185.
Yeah.
So when I went up to the Giants and did the personal trial, you know, they had five other safeties, guys from here and there. And we did a good job. You know, they was going to keep one of us. So they said they'd be in contact, and they never called you back. Then I took the job at Huntington, and then the next offseason they called me again for a workout, and I decided not to go.
At that point, you're like, no, I'm going to do this.
Because I had got into coaching and liked what I was doing, so I didn't want to risk that, you know, by going doing something else.
How many years now at Huntington?
5 years.
Yeah. And talk about the call you got from Alabama. You told us that there's a chance that you could have gone and been a coach, a graduate assistant at the University of Alabama. Did that come from Nick Saban or somebody on his staff?
Well, it actually came from Coach Smart, the defense coordinator. He called me up and we did an interview with him and all the defensive coaches and Coach Saban. So they offered me the position, but you know, with them not being able to offer my wife a job, not guarantee her a job, I had to turn it down.
And what is your wife doing now?
She works at Alabama State in the housing department.
Yeah. So you would have had to be looking for work for her. So that was the reason for not being able to take it, you thought?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. And, you know, I just didn't think the time was right. I feel like I got time to always go back and be a graduate assistant if I want to. So I feel like I haven't done enough at Huntington right now to leave. I want to see those guys do more things as far as being successful. So I got time to move up. If you do a good job, people will know about you. If you work hard, people always come back and try to get you.
So CW, Derek Angeli, sitting right next to you, could have been one of the coaches on the staff with Nick Saban. That means he could have gotten you all the tickets, all the things you needed for Alabama football games. What do you have to say about that?
Well, he made a hell well. Well, he made a choice. His family comes first. There's no doubt. His wife comes first, and then he made a decision. If they did offer his wife a job, he stayed at Huntington, and it was a good decision for him. He thought about his family.
Good answer, Carl.
And you know, it's not a GA at Alabama. It's not the move down. You know who the GA took the job, don't you? This is the past time who it was, don't you?
No.
It was the offensive coordinator from Virginia. He was offensive coordinator. Al Groh's son, Matt Groh.
And
he wants to go learn from Alabama. And, you know, they were real good friends. You know, Al and from back from the Cleveland days, and Nick Saban. And he went, he said his son said it'd be a good experience for him to go down there. And he left being an offensive coordinator position to be a GA at Alabama. Talk about that.
Did you think that door was left open for you in case, you know, something comes up again that you feel like Coach Smart might contact you again for some other things in the future?
Well, that's the vibe I got. I think I did a good job in the interview. They all told me I did. So maybe some down the road, if he gets some, he may bring me on board. So we're going to see how it goes. All you can do is do a good job of where you're at now, and people take notice. And this profession is all about who you know. You get out and try to network with as many people as you can. And then if something comes up and it's a good situation and you know everything fits, then you step on and let them try something different.
Well, you've got three Tallahassee Tigers that will be suiting up this fall for Huntington with Coach Turk and yourself, and you're coaching the secondary. And talk about those guys. One of them will be a four-year starter in Tal Lynn, right? And then you've got a couple of newcomers coming on, Chris Stice and Cody Kilgore. Talk about those three players there.
Oh, starting off with Tal, I recruited Tal 4 years ago. Hard-nosed guy, come from a great family. His mom and dad are very solid. He's got a younger brother that's going to be a senior this upcoming year. Maybe we can get him maybe one day.
That's right.
But Tal came down, and he don't say much. He's a guy that leads by example. He's not going to get in your face and rah-rah you. He's going to get in there and punch the clock every day. And when we get on the field, he's going to play hard. Model student athlete. You know, he's got 3.5 GPA or better. He's going to graduate in 4 years with no summer school work. So he's what you're hunting. If we can get a lot of guys like him, then we'll be okay. Two guys is coming in, Chris Stice and Cody Kilgore. Two big guys. Two guys we're going to play on offensive line, defensive line. So we hopefully those guys can come in and learn what to do and give us a boost. It's going to be hard for those guys to break into the lineup as true freshmen, especially Chris, because we got 5 starters on the offensive line back. All of them be seniors except one. So we're trying to get him in there and learn from those guys and get in the offseason. He's been there every day since they graduated 2 Fridays ago. He's been there every morning. He drives back and forth. So that tells you what kind of person he is. He's got in a jump ready in there. He's doing well on the weights. Cody, he kind of tweaked his back a little bit. He's been kind of resting this week, but he's going to be back in there Monday. Both of those guys are real strong. Coach Dollar's done a good job of developing them for what they got to get into when they get to college.
And when's the first game? It's not too far off now, is it?
No, first game is going to be against Maryville College in Maryville, Tennessee. Maryville's 20 minutes outside Knoxville. That's the first Saturday in September. Then we got the Capital City Showdown with Faulkner and I plus next week. So it's coming pretty fast. We got, 85% of our team here in Montgomery working out. So we're going to be okay.
And those players, they get some partial scholarships. That way, where I know it's academic, is because you don't offer scholarships at this level, the D3 level.
Right. We can offer athletic scholarships. We do offer academic, financial aid, and other things that we can maneuver. But the local guys get the best deals because they can live off campus, obviously, and they save some room and board. So we try to do a good job with the Tri-County area to get those guys in there.
And y'all have done a good job. I know that Coach Turk has done a great job with guys like you and the staff of putting a good product out there. Been very solid. You told me that South Alabama, though they're moving up to D1 ball soon, they will be a team y'all get to play. You had played at least in some sort of what kind of game? It was basically like a practice game, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah. Team varsity.
Yeah.
This year there'll be a club team again, but there'll be 1A 2012, something like that. So they're going to have a good ball team. We know some of the coaches down there, Coach Clark, obviously, at Prattville, and Coach Walker, those guys at Prattville, and then Coach Turner, Coach me at Troy, he's a defensive line coach. So we got some ties with those guys. It'll be fun to go out there and see how we do.
All right. Well, Coach, your broadcast journalism skills are good. We hope you'll maybe come back by and say hello to us when you're in Tallahassee. Come up to a Tallahassee football game. We'll put you on the air in the broadcast booth. If you got some time, we'll talk some more football.
Right.
Thanks for coming, and I appreciate you doing what you're doing with Huntingdon and keeping those Tallahassee guys involved. Derek Ansley of Huntingdon College with us here this morning on the Wake-Up Call. We'll come back with more after this quick break. 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM.